Good morning. This is Pep Talk, Pensacola's expert panel with Meg. We're having a great time this morning because we have the blessing of having Terrence A. Gross with us for a full hour this morning. So he's going to be here for the next half hour till 11. If you've got a question for Terry, he is a personal injury attorney with the firm Gross & Schuster. We've already had several texts coming in this morning. So Terry, if it's okay with you, we can start off with some of the questions.
Yeah, and again, our topic today is tort reform, and I think we got three questions. I don't think any of them have to do with tort reform.
That's true.
But let's do a real shotgun thing.
Okay,
let's pretend we're on Jeopardy and just shoot away.
All right, first question. If a neighbor's rotten tree falls on a property and damages your fence, is the neighbor responsible for the damage?
Well, yes and no. So the way the law really works is, let's say there's a let's do a windstorm or hurricane, because I know it happens in a hurricane. That happens all the time. So there's a hurricane, the tree falls in your yard. It's going to be treated as an act of God. So it's going to go through your homeowners, and you have to make a claim through your homeowners, except if you put the neighbor on notice. So if for months or a year before you were worried about the tree and wrote them a letter and put them on notice, now they got negligence. Now it's a claim against their policy or them personally, because they knew or should have known that the tree was likely to fall because it's rotted.
Right.
So that's how that works.
So the key would be the documentation prior to.
Yes, and we had that exact same thing. There was a tree after Ivan that just got, it didn't fall, but it got jeopardized and rotted, and it was next to my mother-in-law's house overlooking it, and I actually wrote a letter to the people saying you better take it down, because if it falls on her house through any event, you're paying for it. And all of a sudden that tree was taken
down.
That's
a good motivation.
Or, of course, a legal letter ed probably helps.
Yeah, that helps too.
Right.
Okay, we're talking with Terry Gross, who is with Gross & Schuster. We got another listener just texted in. Janet wants to know, does Terry handle professional emotional injury?
Well, professional,
that's an interesting question.
Part of every physical injury, there's emotional components. So every physical case I get, whether it's a whiplash or not, there's going to be an emotional case. But my sons are now, they've developed a little niche, and they've just had two back-to-back where these sexual molestation cases by doctors of patients. And we had a really bad one, and it was a pretty big settlement. So there was no real physical injury. It was illegal touching, but it didn't hurt the person. It was all emotional damages. And yes, it was against a professional. So those type of cases. So I think it just depends on the case. So that's a real broad question. So it's hard to say yes or no, but certainly for some reason, the sexual misconduct towards patients is bigger a problem than you know about.
I would imagine the PTSD after an accident, could that be a factor of what they're referring to?
Well, that's a physical injury, and there could always be
trauma of the accident.
Oh, yeah. Of course, yes.
Okay, I got another question that came in this morning. I need an attorney that is not in any way have any ties with any of the local hospitals. How would you go about doing that?
Yeah, that's true, too. So I think the way the question was first couched out of state, so let's say you have a medical malpractice case locally. It is true it's hard to get any doctors locally to go to testify against their own doctors.
Right.
Number one. Number two, some lawyers may or may not want to do that due to conflicts. But by and large, there are local law firms that do specialize in medical malpractice that have no problems going against the big hospitals. And I know quite a few of those lawyers. We don't do medical malpractice ourselves. We refer it out. But if it was a situation where you just felt, I don't think even the local lawyers are going to be that cooperative, then yes, sometimes I remember there was a legal malpractice case. And so you're going against, it was clear legal malpractice. And I found this person, a lawyer in Tallahassee.
Okay, so they could reach out to this listener, could reach out to you?
State of Florida. Yeah, so we do a lot of referrals if people have those situations.
What's your number again, Terry?
850-434-3333.
Okay, we're talking with Terrence Gross with the Gross & Schuster Personal Injury Law Firm. If you've got a question or a comment for him, this is the time to text it in at 850-437-1620. We've been talking about tort reform this morning.
True, and the biggest tort reform package I've seen in my entire career just happened. When I say just, I mean I've been doing this for 46 years, so it's really been 3 years ago. But in March of 2023, they passed lots of tort reform. One changed the statute of limitations of Florida from 4 years to 2 years. Now, why would they do that? Because the insurance companies figured out that the longer a case is pending, more treatment, more bills, usually a bigger payout. So why not shorten that?
Wow.
And put the heat on the lawyer. And a lot of lawyers don't want to file suit for whatever reasons. And trying to get lawyers to take less money with the threat of litigation. And like I have a case now that's in litigation. And in the first 2 years, my guy had a lot of problems, but no surgery. I filed suit. Since I filed suit, he's had three back surgeries.
Oh, my goodness.
So the case has changed dramatically, and I knew it would.
Yeah.
I thought he was a surgical candidate. I was not about to take some change. and so that's why they did the two-year thing. The other changes. Some are subtle. You can't claim your entire medical bills anymore. So in this same case with this guy I filed suit on, his bills hit $600,000, but there's always contractual write-offs. So I think of his bills, about $500 have been written off. So he actually only owes about $100. But in the old days, I could claim the $600, and then the judge would do the math thereafter. And if the jury hears $600, they think, God, he's really injured. $600,000.
Right.
This person's really injured. And then they're apt to give you more for pain and suffering. They're apt to give you more for future medical treatment. But if they only hear $100,000, it tamps down the verdict. So you're not allowed to let the jury know the total amount. So there's so much juries do not get to hear about.
But that doesn't seem right, though. As I'm listening to you, it sounds like it's those kind of lies of omission, just not getting the information.
There's so much that the juries do not get to know. They don't get to know that you have insurance. They don't get to know your true medical bills.
Gosh.
They don't even get to know who got the ticket under the accident report privilege. I cannot let the jury know who got the ticket.
Because that gives it to at fault? Is that part of it?
No, it's just the accident report privilege. The only way I can get it in is if the defendant goes to court and pleads guilty, and no defendant does that. Either, you get charged with careless driving, you send a check in. That's not a plea of guilty. Or if you get a lawyer, he pleads no contest. That's not a plea of guilty.
Right.
Or if you fight it in traffic court and lose, that's not a plea of guilty. So in 99.9% of the cases, we cannot let a jury know who got the ticket. Very frustrating.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I can't imagine. 850-437-1620. If you've got a question for Terrence A. Gross with Gross & Schuster, clearly he knows his stuff, as they like to say.
Right.
He knows his stuff.
So let's go back to this tort reform package in 23, because we talked about the two-year statute of limitations. We talked about the medical bills. Another component of it dealt with hurricane claims.
Oh.
So we all know we're paying too much for homeowners. We know that it is quadrupled or whatever in the past 10 years or more, and we've all, whether you're on the water, not on the water, we've all seen it to different degrees. And so Governor DeSantis and the legislature promises, we'll do something about this. We'll do some legislation. Well, they did the legislation, and guess what the legislation response was? They cut the attorney's fees for lawyers that represent people on hurricane cases. They cut the fees, saying, okay, we're cutting the attorney's fees, but that hurts the claimant again because right. you if you have full coverage and you bought all this stuff and then 30 or 40% of your roof is just gone, and they say, oh, we'll just repair it. We're not going to give you a new roof. You go, what?
Wow.
And or whatever the claim may be, or they're saying wind, flood, whatever they're doing.
That's the big one.
Oh, yeah. But I have my own claim with Ivan. I was fully covered. I didn't care if it was wind or flood. I could care less because I had great insurance both ways.
Mm-hmm.
And it took me 3 years to resolve it. And it took my deposition three times. And of course, I was a lawyer. But the average person's not a lawyer, so now you got to get a lawyer. So now if they limit attorney's fees, less lawyers are probably going to be interested in doing these long, drawn-out
of course.
Cases, maybe even going to trial.
Mm-hmm.
And so the claimant loses out. And have your homeowner's rates drop? No. Here's the problem.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the biggest problem. Where every time we have tort reform, allegedly to help with something, all it does is help the coffers of the insurance company. So workers' comp, anybody that's been injured on the job knows this. You can't make a claim for pain and suffering. Your employer could be so negligent and you get hurt for the rest of your life, and all they'll give you is, oh, we'll pay your medical bills and 2/3 your lost wages. That's it.
Wow.
That's what you get. But then if I talk to my friends that are contractors,
mm-hmm.
and you talk about workers' comp premiums, they go, it's the highest line item in my business. We are paying through the nose for workers' comp. Wait a second.
Mm-hmm.
If the injured worker's getting screwed and really can't get a just settlement.
Right.
And then the employers are not getting decreases in their insurance premiums.
So where's the money going?
Insurance company coffers.
Mm-hmm.
Every single time. With those medical practice caps when they passed it,
mm-hmm.
I talked to my doctor's friends. I said, you let me know, please let me know, if a year or two later, if your insurance premiums are going down. None of them.
Wow.
I have a good friend that was an ENT. Mm-hmm. Did your rates go down? No, they didn't. Orthopedic surgeons, did your rates go down? No, they didn't. So the rates didn't go down. We're passing this. So when they lobby for it, oh, we're going to help the doctors, these mm-hmm. poor doctors. And then they pass it, and the doctors' and premiums don't go down. So the claimant loses, the injured party loses, and the people that are allegedly supposed to benefit don't benefit, but the insurance companies had. And what if, you know, we have had hurricanes, right?
Yes, sir.
But we've also had periods. I mean, long, dry spells. In fact, I'm an expert in hurricanes, by the way, because I live on the water. I've mm-hmm. lived in my house there since 1989.
Oh, my goodness. You've seen it all.
I can tell you the date. I can tell you the dates. I'm good with I can tell you the dates of every storm. So in 95, we had Aaron and Opal.
Right.
And then we probably had some little storms, but mm-hmm. we didn't have anything big until Ivan. So we really went 9 years.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty quiet, and I made no claims. So if I'm living in the water and I didn't make a claim, it was a nothing burger storm. So 9 years, did we hear them complain about their payouts? So every time there's a storm, then you hear about the complaints. But what about them just taking those premiums and no payout? And just imagine the money you'd make 9 years. Then we had Ivan.
Right.
And then really right behind that, I believe, was Dennis back-to-back. So we'll go.
That
I think
came right after that, yeah.
I think Dennis, because I didn't even move back to my house.
It came in a different direction.
I think it was 2005. Mm-hmm. So 2005, we'll say, was Dennis. Then we go all the way to Sally. So another 15 years pretty much of nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Of nothing for 15 years. Where's did people get refunds? Did you get your Did your rates go down in those 15 years because there's those storms? I don't remember that.
Well, what interesting for Ivan, for me, was the reality that even though we had flood insurance and we had hurricane and wind insurance and all that, that became the big debate with when we had damages within the home. Where did it come from? Was it the rain through the window? Was it the flood on the floor? Was it the wind? It became just a quagmire of trying to sort it out. And the insurance companies were not helpful.
Well, so again, in my
it felt like they were looking for a reason not to pay us.
And in my case, I had plenty of windstorm and I had plenty of flood, and they took my deposition. I was a real young lawyer, like a Doogie Howser. So here I am, you know, I'm probably 60.
I'm trying to imagine you as a Doogie Howser.
No. This guy was young, and he would go, well, this sheetrock bill, Mr. Gross, was that for wind or flood? I go, I evacuated. They told me to evacuate. I didn't see the storm because I wasn't there. Ask my contractor. Next, what about this thing? What about this stucco? Was that from the wind or the flood? I evacuated, sir.
Right.
I didn't see it. Ask my for hours, same answers over and over. What about this bill? What about just total harassment, you know? And I didn't lose my cool, didn't lose my temper. But eventually after 3 years, they all of a sudden one day paid out.
But you're a person that has the experience with the law. What about the poor person that knows nothing about the law?
And also had the financial ability to repair my house out of my pocket. Because most people don't have that kind of resources. So I had to use my own money while they weren't paying me.
Right.
I wanted my house repaired. So I had to pay myself.
That's why we saw so many blue tarps for 5 years after the storm.
Exactly. Oh, yeah.
We've got a question that just came in. So is this from one of our listeners, is this issue the fault of the legislature, in your opinion, Terry?
Well, true, it is. It's getting back to my experiences at FSU Law School and watching lobbyists come into the town, the biggest lobby, once again, is the insurance lobby. And not only are they taking these legislators and whining and dining them in Tallahassee, and in a big way, but they're paying for their campaign funds. And so if a legislator knows he just received $200,000 from an entity.
Like you said, the concerned citizens.
The concerned citizens of Florida. Yeah, right. But he knows who they are. He knows exactly where this money's going. So if he gets a $200,000 campaign contribution, he's not unbiased. He's beholden. He's beholden to help out their interest. And so now comes the vote. Hey, you know, we helped you out.
Wink, wink.
and it's politics. And that's a sad thing. Mm-hmm. But are the citizens there? I mean, how many of you all have gone down the Tallahassee to try to influence your legislator about anything? No, we talk about it over breakfast with your wife. And I may get on the radio and I may pontificate.
I'm a letter writer, but I get the little auto response, so I'm thinking no one read my letter.
It certainly didn't get to the governor. If you wrote the governor.
I write the senators. I'm a letter writer,
some aide maybe looked at it, maybe gave you a generic response. Thanks for your inquiry. We'll look into this.
And would you like to sign up for our newsletter?
Yeah, would you like to sign up? And by the way, how about a contribution?
Yes, exactly. You read that letter. So, goodness gracious. So this has been such an interesting topic, and we have been getting a lot of questions from our listeners. So what, going forward, what are your thoughts? What can we do to protect ourselves, and how can we be more knowledgeable about all of this?
Well, on tort reform, really, there's not much the individuals can do. Even on the voting, it's hard to say because even when they run for office, they don't really talk a lot about tort reform. You don't hear about all other kinds of issues, everything but that. So it's not discussed, but again, there's not a year that goes by that they don't try to push something through. So even after that tremendous success by the insurance companies in 2023, where they got all that tort reform passed, they were back in 2024 for more.
Mm.
And 25, it got shot down.
Right.
It never stopped. There's never a year, where the legislature doesn't have some proposed bills trying to mess with the system, saying it's broken. We got to get the treaty agreed trial lawyers.
Mm-hmm.
But think about it. The trial lawyer is the poor person's key to the courthouse. So on a contingency fee, the poorest person in the world could still get a competent, able, experienced lawyer based on the contingency of the case to go against these insurance companies. And I've always liked what I do. I look at my role as David and Goliath.
Mm-hmm. I can see that.
I'm David.
Right.
I mean, imagine the resources. If I sue State Farm, imagine their resources, all their money, the best lawyers money could buy, mm-hmm. the best experts, because it gets a war of experts, and they have hired guns. They have orthopedic surgeons that never saw an injured person.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, they're not injured. That's degenerative. I went to Harvard. I know these things. and so you get that time and time again. And radiologists, you know, you go to MRI center and the radiologist, he's just a radiologist.
Mm-hmm.
He's a working, he goes, I see herniated disc here. I see herniated disc there, blah, blah, blah. And then it gets to the insurance company's radiologist who's retained by the insurance company. Says,
to say what they want,
I don't see herniations. That's just degenerative. We all get old and, you know, it's just old age.
Mm-hmm.
Really? Well, how come the person never had neck or back problems in their life and now is getting injections once a month?
So do we need to have, like, the group of concerned citizens? Can we get a group of concerned attorneys?
Well, there is. I'm in a group, and there is a lawyers group, and they are in Tallahassee.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, we do have a lobby, but it
push
pales,
back a little bit on some of this.
We try, we do that,
mm-hmm.
but it pales in comparison. If you think
money,
yes, I mean, because really, all these insurance companies pool together, so Allstate.
Right.
Geico,
millions,
Progressive, auto owners, they all pull their money together for one cause. They have the same cause,
mm-hmm.
so they're all united, and it's the most powerful lobby in the state of Florida.
Mm.
And again, they push candidates. They want these candidates that are very pro tort reform, and they bang that drum. Most people don't know it until you're injured. Real quick story, there was another show I used to do on another station locally
mm-hmm.
with a very well-known conservative, I'll call him redneck, host. And most people know who I'm talking about now.
We all loved him.
Way back when in time. And he was kind of anti-lawyer. He did the show and mm-hmm. stuff with me. And we talked, but you could tell he's anti-lawyer. Never have him on a jury. And then what happened? His daughter's in a wreck, and
oh,
he comes to me to represent the daughter, and then at the end, we're talking about what the case is worth. He goes, that's it? I said, well, all these things, all this tort reform I'm talking about,
mm-hmm.
we got this problem, we got this, because the law says this, the law says that, and all of a sudden, it hit him. So
Now he understood
once it got close to home, but I could see... Even though you don't start, haven't started the music, I can look at that Mickey Mouse
clock.
We're good.
I'm watching
yeah,
the clock for you.
I'm going to do my little exit.
Okay.
Folks, it's been great talking to everybody. If you wish to call me at any time, 850-434-3333, or visit us on the web at grossandschuster.com. It's always a pleasure. I love these programs. Meg, thank you so much. I want to thank... the staff here at 1620 as well. And I look forward to be back in the next week or two.
It's always a pleasure to have you here. I'm taking notes. I learned so much. And you have the opportunity to re-listen to this broadcast on our podcast page. Just go to Pensacola Expert Panel and you can hear what Terry talked about today. Fascinating topic. Always great material. Great attorney. If I had an issue, I'd be coming to you.
Thank you.